Wednesday, the destination, becoming a super fan, your tour guide, the wonderful world of professional wrestling, and Serious Brad and the Roundtable are sitting right next to you on this double-decker bus. Thank you, listeners. My name is Serious Brad, and to all the Serious Wrestling fanatics out there, we have an awesome show tonight. But first, here is my squad, our New Japan correspondent, Lethal J.
What's up, man? What's going on?
You know, same old, same old. Bringing the noise.
Yes,
and of course, fresh, our Ring of Honor correspondent, Jordan J.R. Rogers.
Wow. Again, on Ken the Shoulder podcast, Jordan Rogers is here. And I'm here to talk about what's best, and that is the Ring of Honor product right now. There's lots to talk about, and we're going to go see that later in the program tonight.
Yes, we are. It's going to be awesome. I mean, not only are we going to be talking about Ring of Honor and, of course, New Japan, and, of course, you know, actually, we're just going to be talking about a bunch of stuff that's happening in professional wrestling right now, because we all know there is a dab will do you in just about every promotion right now. But, folks, we have a Ring of Honor person, a Ring of Honor wrestler, a professional. Shane Taylor will be joining us here shortly. He'll be coming on. We were actually supposed to have him on the show at the end of 2017. Unfortunately, he could not make it on, but fortunately, he rescheduled. So, bonus, looking forward to having him on. But first, we got to say thank you to our sponsors. But first of all, here's a little commercial from our home, thechairshot.com.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
And of course, folks, we have everything at thechairshot.com, guys. I mean, literally everything, anything that you need in professional wrestling, when it comes to, you know, news, opinion columns, podcasts, videos, trust me, we aren't stopping there. Our boss man, Greg DeMarco, certainly is not stopping there. He is building an empire. Happy to be part of it and looking forward to seeing how much further we can go. So shout out to the boss man, Greg DeMarco. Of course, airshock.com. Make sure you guys are checking that out. And of course, sponsors of Pin the Shoulders podcast, Circle Apparel. Go check out Tim and his awesome gear. And put in promo code SeriousBrad. You can get you 50% off of your final order. And then, of course, High Cube Hydration Energy Drink. They're hitting the scene as of lately, this couple months. They just hit the market. Go check them out, liquidhiq.com. And yeah, man. Simon Mitchell and T.A. Adams. So thank you, everyone. And, of course, our listeners. I don't know about you guys, but I think we have some of the best listeners out there. And if you're Ring of Honor fans, actually, if you're just professional wrestling fans, you guys are just the bee's knees. And, yes, I said the bee's knees. I talk too much. I talk too much, guys. I apologize. So while we're waiting for Shane Taylor to give us a call, how about you guys give us a bullet points of what is happening in Ring of Honor? So, you know, the folks at home can look forward to not only an awesome interview, but of course, an amazing talk at the end.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's a lot going on in Ring of Honor right now. We're going to probably cover it after the interview. There's some matches though I want to discuss about the show when I do the report. We're going to be discussing Will Ospreay against Jay Lethal, Kenny King and Brian Myloniss, as well as SoCal Uncensored. They made an appearance in the ring, and that was featuring Scorpio Sky, who was on last week. So SoCal Uncensored, Scorpio Sky, Christopher Daniels, and Kazarian speak their mind. More on that later tonight. Felton Castle and the boys as well went against the Kingdom. So there's a lot to talk about in Ring of Honor. We're looking forward to a great future product. I want to go on a Ring of Honor spotlight right now, actually, and look at the television champion Silas Young and the feud that he is having currently with Kenny King. I love it. It's good. It's personal. It gets right to the point. And that is, in my opinion, something that is very, very effective in a wrestling storyline. I can feel the emotion. I can feel the adrenaline. And, of course, I can feel the excitement. So, Silas Young, Kenny King rivalry. Starting with Lethal J, what do you think about it?
I like Kenny King a lot. Kenny King's great. Like, he's great work. Excuse me, he's a great worker in the ring and everything like that. Silas Young, I'm actually pretty new to. I haven't seen him wrestle too much, but once again, you know, he's a great worker and everything like that. Like I said, though, I really enjoy Kenny King there. He was a real great guy to talk to as well, for sure. There, what do you think of that there, Brad?
Well, first of all, like you said, we had Kenny King on the show. Great guy. He's done a lot for the business. He was awesome in Impact. I thoroughly enjoyed the Beatdown Gang, or the Beatdown. Was it the Beatdown Posse or the Beatdown Gang? I forget which one.
The Beatdown Clan.
The Beatdown Clan. Thoroughly enjoyed that crew. You know, some people don't remember that, but whatever. I digress. Kenny King, great guy. Silas Young. He's the manliest man, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's got amazing skill in the ring. It's an amazing feud. It's a perfect matchup. You wouldn't think it would be. But when you have that unseen chemistry actually start to float in the ring, you got personalities clashing. It's your typical yin and yang, good versus evil type of story, and I'm loving it, and I can't wait to see what they do. I'm kind of hoping that we actually get Silas on the show sometime soon. We've already gotten Beer City Bruiser. We've already gotten Kenny King. We haven't gotten Punishment Martinez, but Shane Taylor. We almost would have to cap it off with Silas Young. So I think we have to work on getting him on.
Absolutely. You know, it's good. It's good to see the reign that Silas Young is having with the belt. He's been around the business for a long time. From experience, working with him, just talking about the business in general, he has a great attitude about it. Personally, I think there needs to be more people in professional wrestling like Silas Young, just because of that discipline factor and paying dues is something that's very important. You never stop paying your dues. It's a big lesson that he's taught me. He's a great worker. Everywhere he goes, he impresses. So hopefully it should be a good reign out of Silas Young. Punishment Martinez as well. This guy, I can just say he's money. He's money. There's a big future in for him as well.
I'm going to go, yeah, absolutely. Punishment Martinez, and I'm loving the new crew. You know, what he's got going on with that. I love Punishment Martinez. He's a monster. Very intimidating. But this is kind of off to the side kind of question. If you guys said, you know, we got Royal Rumble coming up real soon. If you guys could see any Ring of Honor professional wrestler show up at the Royal Rumble Sunday, who would you want?
I'll let you go first, yeah.
Okay, yeah, absolutely. Looking at the Royal Rumble and looking at the Ring of Honor stars that we could see debut, there's a lot of possibilities, obviously. But let's look at the guys that have made headlines in the news across the world, including Japan, America, Canada, Zimbabwe, anywhere. It doesn't matter. And that's the Young Bucks. The Young
yes,
Bucks
absolutely.
Haven't been, that it's not going to happen, obviously. We know that, but to see two separate entrances of the Young Bucks in the Royal Rumble, could you imagine that? How the wrestling world would react to that? It would definitely be a newsmaker.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't agree with you more. Lethal J, who do you think? Who would you want? Excuse me.
Well, I'm not going to say it. He kind of took it right out of my – he kind of took the words right out of my mouth there. I was going to say the Young Bucks as well, but I'm gonna say – you know, another group that would be fun, like, I would really like to see, like, the Motor City Machine Guns. I've always been a big Alex Shelley fan, so, like, I would love to see, you know, him or Chris Sabin, somebody like that. But, you know, at the same time, I'd love to see a big name like Kenny King pop in there, you know, or just anybody, you know, Skrull, any of those guys. I would love to see, like, it's really cool because Ring of Honor definitely – like, it's starting to kind of get – I mean, it's always been around, obviously. But, like, they're really, like, I don't know. I've noticed them a lot more lately. Not saying that I, of course, if I notice them, it's, you know, it's the greatest thing ever. But, like, you know, like, everything is, like, I've started to notice them a lot more, and I think they're definitely catching the attention of a lot more of the mainstream wrestler, like, wrestling fans and everything like that, which is very good for them. So I would love to see some competition towards, like, you know, WWE.
Absolutely, and they're certainly becoming a foothold in professional wrestling. When you think of professional wrestling, whether it's indies or not, you're gonna come across, and you're gonna, you know, hear Ring of Honor. But you know, I won't lie to you guys. I have two people that I would love to see show up. One of them is Jay Lethal. I would absolutely love to see Jay Lethal show up. I think he'd be a good fit for NXT. But I would totally dig seeing him. And Hangman Page, I think he's ready, man. I don't know about you guys. He's certainly got the he's got that group going on.
The Hung Bucks.
The Hung Bucks. That's fantastic.
Right? Isn't that great?
Jordan, what do you think?
Hangman Page, yeah, like you said, he's ready, but at the same time, I guess you're never ready, because in this business there's so much to learn every single day, but it seems like Hangman Page is learning by the day, and the things that he learns by the day is going to contribute to him to future success. So looking at Hangman Page and looking at what he's done already and what's in store for his future and what's in the tank, that WWE could definitely be a possibility for him.
Oh, it's perfect fit. Perfect fit. So guys, 25th anniversary of Raw just happened.
Yes, sir.
You know, I was completely, I'm just going to tell you right now, I'm not going to ask you guys what you thought. You know, you can of course tell me afterwards. I do care. I'm not saying that I don't care, but the setup, dude, how they made it, the original setup, everything. It was fucking awesome, dude. Excuse my language, but it was fucking awesome, man. It really brought me back. It was good seeing, you know, just some of the legends out back playing poker, doing a lot of, you know, just kind of almost doing the old school style of backstage, you know, storytelling. But
I wish they did the whole show like that. I wish they did the whole show at the, I don't even remember the name of the arena. It's the one the original one, though.
First time they did it raw.
Yes. I wish they did the whole show with that. Like, I mean, it was cool. Of course, they were at the Barclays Center or whatever. But, I mean, and like you said, Brad, like, I watched a lot of it, and, like, I just loved it because of the nostalgia. Like, I loved watching all, like, they did so many bits. Like, I loved it so much. But I would wish they did it like at the original place, the whole show. It would have been great. It would have been a small crowd. They could have done a lot with it. But I mean, other than that, in my opinion, like, I actually enjoyed the show, and I'm not, as I've talked before in the past, as of lately, I'm really not a big fan of WWE TV. But this was a good episode. Like, I really liked this episode of Raw. And I loved everything they did, but I loved the Boogeyman segments, because I was always a huge Boogeyman fan for some reason.
I couldn't believe that, man. That was just absolutely disgusting. I don't even know how to say it. Where's your mindset to be able to, like, have many live worms in your? Jordan Rogers, what did you think of the 25th anniversary of Raw?
You know, I'm going to say two things. Number one, I did not watch the 25th anniversary of Raw. However, number two, I did watch the highlights of it. I read multiple reports on it from multiple sources. And looking at how Raw 25 went, you know when you order hot wings at the bar and there's like a flavor scale of like not hot at all, mild, hot, too hot, and very hot?
Yes.
This show was literally at the just right scale of those hot wings. Like, I mean, perfect flavor, perfect tenderness. It's just, they delivered. They didn't over-deliver, and they didn't under-deliver. They were right on the scale. I have no complaints about the episode. that Stone Cold stunning Vince McMahon, like, that's a flashback from the Attitude Era in 1999, and now it's 2018, and that's happening.
Absolutely.
So it makes you say, fuck, man. When I was a kid, I loved watching this. And it kind of just kind of gave you that refreshment as a wrestling fan where it's like, yeah, this is still fucking cool.
Well, hey, guys, we're going to talk about this a lot more, but we're actually going to get to our guest this evening. This man, folks, he'll make you think twice about who you mess with, because it's not necessarily the person that's standing in front of you. It's the person that he's handing the huge amount of cash behind him to. This man, well, he likes to beat up people and collect large amounts of cash. He is Ring of Honor's hired gun, Shane. More cash, your problem, Taylor. How are we doing tonight, sir?
I'm doing really good, man. Thank you for having me on. It's an interesting nickname, too. I'll have to play around with that.
Did you like that? That's yours. That's a parting gift, sir. That's absolutely yours.
I appreciate that.
Well, first of all, absolutely honored to have you on the show. We absolutely enjoy Ring of Honor. What we like to do on this podcast is we like to get the fans up to date with some of, you know, the big names in professional wrestling right now, especially on the independent circuit. Could you tell the folks at home where you actually got your start in professional wrestling and maybe some of the people that trained you?
The people who trained me are former Ring of Honor and New Japan star Raymond Rowe. Currently, I think he just signed with WWE, so very excited for him to start that new chapter of his life. And a guy by the name of J-Rock out of Cleveland, also one of, you know, the most influential guys in the area, helped train guys like myself and John McChesney, Bill Collier, EC3, and was very instrumental in helping Ray kind of hone in on who he had to be. So those are the guys that trained me. And my start came in late 2007, early 2008. I had just left college. Was an All-American there at Slippery Rock, just wrestling and doing my thing. And once I decided to leave there, kind of just got back to doing what I was doing before that, and which is just, you know, kind of rolling with my crew and doing some bouncing stuff, and just, you know, nothing that was going to be a long-term plan, you know. And I decided that I was going to take a chance and chase my dream of being a professional wrestler. And so I got in contact with some people, and they pointed me in the direction of Ray Rowe and J-Rock, and the rest is sort of history.
Excellent. You're now certainly tearing it up.
I'm trying, man. Trying. I've been very blessed to be around some great people. And in this business, you know, they say friends are hard to come by, and that's true. So I've been very fortunate in that aspect to be around some great folks who really had my best interest at heart. So for that, you know, I can't thank them enough.
So Jordan Rogers here from Pin the Shoulders podcast. Tell us your memories about growing up in Cleveland, what it was like going on, the memories that you've made, and transitioning that to your training. Is there any memories about growing up in Cleveland that you'd like to share?
Sure. It all really just depends on what your fans want to hear. I mean, growing up in Cleveland, from the tourist side of it, you know, you can, you know, see the lakes and, you know, all of the cultural things that we offer. We play out Square and Tower City and all that stuff. Where I grew up was on the east side. You guys know Bone Thugs and Harmony, right? They're from the east side.
Oh,
oh yeah. Oh, they're one of my favorites.
Yeah, exactly, right? So I lived and grew up on the east side of Cleveland before they tried to fix it. For those that don't know, people always talk about violent cities and crimes like in Chicago and Compton and things of that sort. Well, per capita, east side of Cleveland is more dangerous than all of them. Our crime rate is higher. Murder rate is higher. The whole deal. At least it was when I was growing up. So those are some of the things that I remember in those. And obviously there are a lot of good times being with my family and things of that sort. But the things that really shape you in life are the things that that create lasting impressions. You know, so I remember walking to the gas station with my cousin, just going, you know, being 8 years old, just going to go to the store and get some snacks or what have you, and seeing somebody get shot in the parking lot. You know what I mean? Like, and the crazy thing about it is it didn't even faze us. Like, we were just like, all right, this, you know, it's Tuesday. That happened.
Move along, right?
We're just going to go get our stuff and go back home before they come back. You know what I mean? So, you know, I've seen and been to, you know, over 100 funerals by the time I was 13, you know, friends, family, you know, involved in drugs, gangs and violence and things like that. So, my experience and that has, you know, shaped me. And I take that into wrestling because I know what happens if this doesn't work. I know, what's on the other side of this. And now that I have my daughter, and I'm creating, you know, life not only for myself, but for her and my family, I know why I work so hard. And it's to make sure that she never has to even know that that's an option or even know that that's a scenario that she could be in. I want her to be as far removed from that as possible. So, all the attitude, all the aggression, all the anger, all the pain, all the frustration from, you know, living through those things, I carry into my style and I carry into the ring. So when you're in there and you're fighting me, you're not just fighting me, you know, there's, you're fighting a man with, you know, hopes, dreams, and fears, you know, and that fear is not to go back to that life.
Absolutely. I was going to say, you know, that sounds like, you know, a vehicle that is firing on all cylinders with plenty of fuel to, you know, push it, you know, long distances. You have plenty of motivation, sir. And, you know, certainly it's upsetting to hear that, you know, you're in an environment to where, you know, is this something that was every day? Is this something that was common? And it was just like, you know, someone putting butter on their toast in the morning to see, you
exactly.
know, something like that in the streets. Yeah. But it's good to know that, you know, that motivation right there, not wanting to go back to that, not wanting, you know, your daughter to go back to that. And congratulations, by the way, on becoming a father. It's good to know that, you know, that's your motivation. And as soon as we've seen Shane Taylor, you know, come out of gorilla position and come down to that ring, we know that there's a full-on fight behind him. So that's, you know, that's one of the reasons why we enjoy watching you.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, I get that from the lessons instilled in me growing up. You know, we used to crazy stuff, man. We used to not be able to sit on the couches in our living room because our house would get shot up like every week.
Oh, wow.
Because the drug dealers on the corner wanted to sell there because it was a high, like, traffic area, and my dad wouldn't let them do it. So he would literally, like, fight drug dealers off the corner. And then when I was old enough, I helped him, you know, because we didn't care if they did it down the street. We didn't care if they did it, you know, the next block over, but it wasn't going to be on our corner, you know? So, you know, dealing with that and,
that's a lot of courage, yeah, man.
Like,
that's a hell of a lot of courage.
I mean, yeah, when you're growing up there though, you don't really think about things down the road. Like, all we knew
right.
was, that's what it was going to, you know what I mean? That's what we were going
to
do today. You know, we
had
didn't
to get
know.
That day.
Yeah. Like, we were just trying to get through that day, you know? So when, like, a lot of people talk about, like, a lot of the issues with like society and things of that sort, and they make these rash, like, well, they should just do this. Like, you have no idea what the mentality is in that area. You have no idea what those people are dealing with. You have no idea you know, the level of, you know, anxiety and stress that's going on in those folks' lives, you know. So, yeah, man, it's just it's such a crazy thing to think about that to where I'm at now and where I'm trying to go.
And go ahead, Lethal Jay. Sorry, I'll ask.
That's okay. First off, thanks for coming on the show. We really appreciate it and everything. I know that you've been, I've seen you in the ring with a lot of big names lately and everything, which is great. You know, I've seen you in the ring with Minoru Suzuki. I know you just had a match with Marty Scurll recently in ROH. You know, is there somebody out there that you know that you'd really like to get into the ring with that you haven't had a chance with, you know, and everything like that?
Yeah, I mean, there are so many talented people in this business. Me being the kind of guy that I am, I would love to test, you know, my ability against everybody, you know. If we're talking about stylistically, you know, you have guys like Matt Riddle, who I would love to fight. You know what I mean? Like, you guys like Zack Sabre. JT Dunn is another one. I had a match with Chris Hero a couple years ago, so it would be really cool to get in there with him again. You know, and just there's a laundry list of guys, you know, and if you're talking about guys from ROH too, one-on-ones with Silas Young or Kenny King or, you know, Jay Lethal or Mark Briscoe, the Ring of Honor World Champion Dalton Castle. Like, there's, you know, we could sit here all day and name great guys, you know, who I would love to go in there and knock out. Getting the chance to do it, though, is a whole nother thing. So, the matches that I have had, you know, you mentioned Suzuki and Killer Elite Squad and Hiroki Goto. Those are matches that I came up short in, you know, but the experience of getting in there with them and getting that knowledge to be able to use that going forward has been invaluable, you know. And the match with Skrull, the same way, even though he kind of, you know, spoiler alert, he kind of cheated, but that's what he does, so I should have been ready
right,
for it.
Right, exactly.
Speaking of
New Japan, I mean, is that something that definitely, if the opportunity arose, you would take for sure?
I mean, yeah. I mean, it's one of those things that they have to sort of want you for, you know. So
right.
I'm just hoping that at some point they see what the people who believe in me most see, and if they do, and I get that chance, I will be sure not to disappoint.
Certainly. Tell us what it was like working with Keith Lee. He's one of the biggest names in independent wrestling right now, and you had an opportunity to be his tag team partner. What was it like working with Keith Lee?
Well, Keith is the man. You know, he's an absolute, you know, athletic freak. Very underrated as far as the things that he does outside of the ring and his business acumen and the things that you don't, you know, see in highlight reels. He takes care of all that stuff, you know, and it shows. He's made nothing but great choices. You know, a lot of people were confused as to, you know, why he chose to go the route he did when he made that choice, you know, last year. But look how it's turned out. You know, he's gone
right
all over the world, has been tearing it up. So, you know, you can't really fault him for that, because he did exactly what he wanted to do. He bet on himself and won. You know, being his partner is awesome. Being his friend is great. He's a special dude, and he is going to continue to do great things.
Have you had any talks about, having a reunion or doing any more work with him?
We still team here and there.
Okay.
There's a company in Texas called VIP out of Dallas. We're the current tag champs there. But it, scheduling is crazy as he, you know, as
right.
he's doing his thing. I think as it stands now, man, like we'll team up to defend those titles, but we're both just kind of doing our solo thing and just sort of watching each other do our thing from, you know, from afar.
Absolutely.
And I guess we'll go on with the rest of the questions. The last two I do have, going to Ring of Honor and the tryout process, how did that all work out for you, and how did you find out you got your Ring of Honor deal?
The tryout process was a little different for me than just about everybody else, being as though I'm from Texas. You know, well, I'm from Ohio, but I live in Texas. And because they only go there, you know, a couple times a year, I didn't have to go through like the tryout camps and all of that stuff, which is how they get 99% of their guys. So if anybody listening is wondering, well, how do I get there? That's how you do it. Go to the tryout camps. I went with Ray, when he was first getting there, went to the shows in San Antonio and Dallas and all of that in Oklahoma City, went to the Nashville shows. And just kind of had my face around enough and talked to people. They got a good vibe from me. And with the matches that they allowed me to have, the solo matches, the tag matches with Keith, you know, they saw something. And when they sent me the contract, I think it was like a year and a half or like 2 years of doing that before like the contract came. And then, once that came, it was kind of surreal, you know, kind of just sat there as I printed it to fax it back, you know, I just sat there for a bit and just was really just
marinating.
That a company thought enough of me and of my ability to give me that chance, and I'm just trying to make good on it.
And thoughts on working with Jay Briscoe? What has he taught you? What has he got? Any memories and experiences, and continuing, obviously, some future experiences with Jay Briscoe? What's it like working with, I should just say, both of the Briscoes in the ring? What are your thoughts on them?
They're intense. They are some of my favorite people and my favorite opponents, even if we're at odds, because they are who they are, and they're true to themselves. And they're loyal and they're legit, you know. So when you're in there with them, they make no bones about who they are. They think they're the baddest tag team on the planet individually. I'm sure that they think they're some of the baddest dudes walking the face of the earth. And it's hard for anybody to really prove otherwise, you know. So I respect that. And I am cut from that same cloth. So when you see them, it's sort of like that old saying, real rag recognizes real, you know? So, it's a hats off to both those men and salute to them. And being in the ring with them, you can't help but get better and learn and, sort of understand what it means to be at that level, because they've been doing it for 15 years now. So,
wow.
Anytime that I get the chance to be in the ring with them, I'm going to take notes mentally, as well as try to knock out their heads off. But it's just one of those things that you know it's special when you're in the ring with them.
Well, we've asked almost everyone that's come on this show, you know, what their biggest piece of advice is, and what they seem to say. No matter how, you know, if you're a beginner or if you're a veteran, is to shut up and listen. And that seems to be, no matter how far you are in your journey, that just seems to be a kind of a key note to have, no matter where your journey takes you.
Well, for sure, because a lot of times, and you know, I'm reminded of an old saying too. It's you know, it's better for you to close your mouth and have people think you're dumb than to open your mouth and remove all doubt, you know. So
I need to practice that more.
Yeah, it happens to the best of us, you know what I mean? Like, a lot of times, and I know this is something that gets to me too, coming from a competitive background and coming from a sports background and things of that sort, I'm used to my hard work and my effort being directly proportionate to my success. A lot of times in pro wrestling, it's not necessarily the case. So that can be frustrating, you know. And in moments like that, you have to remember that this is a business, that, you know, other people's opinions of you and other people's, you know, views of you can have dramatic and long-lasting effects, you know. So you really just want to be smart and be calculated in your actions, speak less, and just kind of just observe more, you know. So yes, to that point that you were saying, and also there are a lot of people that you can listen to, but I'm trying to figure out like the right way to phrase it.
You gotta filter.
Hear everybody,
filter sometimes.
Hear everybody, but you don't have to listen to everybody,
right?
Everybody's not for you, and everybody's not telling you those things to help you, you know what I mean? Some are. Most are, you know, but some aren't, you know. So you just have to make sure that the people you surround yourself with and the ones you hold closest to you have your, you know, your best intentions at heart, and kind of let them guide you.
Mr. Lethal.
Mr. Stiller, I got to ask, like, you know, I've noticed over watching like a lot of video on you and everything like that, I've noticed one thing that you've dropped a lot of weight. I hope you don't mind that I say that or whatever, but like I noticed which is a great thing. Like, you mean you're looking good, especially you know right now and everything. What are some of the things that like kind of, you know, I know you've probably done interviews on this before, but like, you know, kind of what are some of the things that kind of like have motivated you, you know, because that's something else. Like I've read some places that you've lost almost like 100 pounds. Is that true?
Yeah, close to it, about 80. The goal, I think my goal for this year is probably like another 50 or so.
Right.
And again, man, it really just goes back to my motivation of trying to be as successful as I can. You know, when you're
right,
a big guy,
right,
a lot of people try to pigeonhole you in places and only let you get to a certain level. You know, they only see you as one thing. And I'm trying to put together a presentation, not only with my in-ring work, but with my body, that says I'm not just that guy, you know.
Right.
I'm more than that. I can perform more than that. I expect more of myself, as should you. So for me, it's all about just proving a point, and putting my best foot forward.
Right.
A lot of people doubt me, and a lot of people kind of put me to the wayside, but there's nothing that I love more than proving people wrong. And there's nothing that I love more than after I prove them wrong, telling them that I did so. So all of those things kind of come into play when you talk about the weight loss, because it's, while it is a grind and it is tough, the motivation that I have at the end of the day is just to kind of show the world just who I am.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
so,
yeah,
and, you know,
you definitely made a believer out of me, that's for sure. That's some crazy
yeah, absolutely.
Stuff, that's good. For sure. Like, keep it up 100%. That's awesome.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Well, there's something that that I tried on the show last week. It's called a word association game. And what I'm going to do is just, I'm going to say, you know, some words, possibly some phrases, and whatever comes to your mind first, just go ahead and spit it out. Sound good? Awesome.
Sounds good.
We're going to start off with just a simple one. Red.
Red. Cane.
Nice. Very nice. This is actually bouncing off what we just talked about. Cheat day.
Ooh, okay. Okay. Chicken fried steak.
Very nice. Oh, hell
damn
yeah.
Damn right.
We're going to have to end the show because I'm hungry all of a sudden.
hey, man.
Hero.
Speaking of, though, there was I don't know if – like, I don't know if it's just because I do this diet and things of that sort, but as soon as, like, things get tough, you always see, like, all the videos for all the crazy food on, like, Facebook and stuff like that. And there was, like, a spaghetti – or no, there was, like, a pizza burger thing that I saw. It's a big-ass burger, but, like – like pizza on the inside, and I was like, yo,
that's where it's at, man. Anytime they mix, you know.
Like... Oh, man.
No, that sounds delicious. Anytime they mix really, like, multiple foods together, that's me. That's me. You hit that to me.
so ridiculous.
What's that?
I said it's so ridiculous because it looks so good.
Absolutely. Super Bowl.
Eagles.
Oh, really?
Listen, man, I understand who they're going against. I understand the legacy. I understand all of that. But to me, I personally feel like the Patriots and, like, their fan base are just as, like, smug as, like, the Spurs and their fan base. You know what I mean?
Listen,
that's not a bad thing. Like, I understand winning creates a certain mindset. I'm a Browns fan. Like, I have no idea what that mindset even looks like. You know what I mean? But I understand it, you know? But at the end of the day, when that happens, you have to understand that there's going to be some animosity when you're at the top, because that's where everybody else is trying to get to. Now, couple that with the fact that they're not really likable, you know what I mean? Like, they're kind of standoffish, and with all the allegations of, you know, cheating and yada yada, like, people are gonna want to see you lose, you know? So, and I mean, he's got like 5 rings now, so like, it's like, all right, bro, we get it,
sure.
You know? you know. So,
I mean, you gotta.
Does he have 6? No, he has 5.
Yeah, it's 5.
Yeah,
it's 5. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, I would love to see the Eagles come out, you know what I'm saying, and put it away and maintain it, unlike the Falcons did. That was.
Oh,
that
man,
was
I'm talking
about that. I'm
a Falcons fan,
I don't
want to
talk about that at all.
Right.
And not to mention the Vikings' disappointment against the Eagles.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but
I was a Viking fan.
But again, I feel like a lot of people were counting out for whatever reason. People keep doubting these Eagles and they keep smacking people in the face. Like, I don't know what it takes. Like, it, like, they were like underdogs, and I'm like, the last time I remember, like, the Vikings were okay, but they weren't like blowing the doors off of anybody, but then the Eagles came in and were just like, nah, son, like, and it was a wrap.
there's actually this guy that a friend of mine, and his friend, I think, is the only Eagles fan in town or whatever. And mm-hmm. whenever the Eagles do win, he doesn't go to bed after the game. He actually has to wait like an hour and a half after the game's over, because you guarantee that his friend's going to show up completely fucking drunk, knocking on the door just so he can open the door and scream in his face, Eagles. I mean, I don't get it. Eagles fan,
yeah.
I guess. I don't get
that would last approximately one time with me, and he would be picking up his teeth like that. Yeah, that's my thing. That's
you
my
heard
thing.
It. If you're listening, buddy, don't do that to Shane Taylor.
Not at all. Not at all.
Next word association. I like getting responses out of this one, and it's always fun. Trump.
Oh, geez.
Do it, man. Do it. You can never win with this one.
Hypocrite.
Folks listening at home,
this is, this is recorded,
like,
so
not,
you can hear it.
And not, yeah, I mean, like, I stand by the stuff that I say, man. Like,
For sure. Being
100%. In the public eye, like, social media is a double-edged sword, you know? So,
yeah, it's terrible.
Things that you say, you know, are held to you. So when I do speak on something, I do it with no regrets, with no second guessing myself, because I believe what I say and I mean what I say. And if someone's going to be upset with me about that, we can disagree, you know, but
right.
I have every much a right to feel the way that I do as you feel the way that you do, you know, and as long as we're respectful of each other, we can have different views. But,
right.
you know, my thing with him is I just think him and most of the people that support him are hypocrites. You know, it's, you know, they'll point out things that other people have done to somehow justify what he's done. And it's like, it's not an equatable thing. Like, I couldn't go to my dad and be like, yeah, I broke the lamp, but so did my brother, so it's good. Like, no, you're both wrong. You both get your ass whooped. You both, you know what I'm saying, you both are responsible for what you fucking did. You know,
there's a lot of smoke screen tactics.
Of course. And, like, but that's, like, that's also just, like, that's a problem that I have with society in general. Like, everybody is, like, it's always everybody else's fault. No one can take blame for themselves. Like no one can look at themselves and go, I'm the problem, I need to change, I need to fix it. You know, it's always someone else's fault that things are the way they are, you know. Or, you know, they completely negate, you know, reasons as to why things are the way they are. You know what I mean? Like when you talk about because a big part of the things that I talk about are, like, race issues and police brutality and things of that sort. And, like, when a big problem that we have is people have a very conditioned view of history, and they have a very biased view and very skewed view of history. And that's because, you know, history is written by the winners. You know what I mean? So, when people talk about these subjects, there's just so much misinformation that they have, to where I feel like if people knew the unadulterated truth about history, it would change a lot of minds, and it would put so much more in perspective when you talk about these things, because people are speaking from a place of not necessarily their own research and knowledge and their own thought process, but what their family told them, or what their friends told them, or what their parents told them, you know. So when you correct them of things, or you disagree with their sentiment, it's like you're personally disagreeing with the values that they were taught. So many people get defensive, you know.
Right.
And it's like, I don't think you're a terrible person. You just have a misguided view of this subject. You know what I mean?
Right. No, absolutely.
Yeah, man, like, just if I had to think of one word, it would be hypocrite.
There it is. Well, one last word association, phrase association at this point. If I had a nickel for, you know, for whatever, what if you had a nickel for, is there something that, you know, is just, you know, constantly in your life? You see what I mean?
Yeah. Like, if I had a nickel for every time someone made fun of the Browns,
you'd be rich, man.
Super rich.
You might own Ring of Honor.
For real, though.
Browns aren't that bad.
And it's fine. Yeah, they are. It's fine. But you know what? Like, the thing is, too, and it's such a catch-22, it's like management knows that the people here live and die with our football team. They know we're going to sell out the stadium, win or lose. They know this. They know we've gone years without having a team and what that did to the city. Like, they know that. So there's really no emphasis or no onus on putting a winner on in the field, because they're like, well, you might as well take what you can get. And I feel like that's wrong, because you should want to reward a fan base as loyal as that, you know, with a winning team.
Well, yes. Before we get to the infamous favorite road story, we had the Beer City Bruiser on the show a few weeks back, and he specifically asked me to tell you to mention a couple things. One, he told me to tell you, go Michigan State.
Fuck him.
And two, he told me just to mention the battle from San Antonio. What did he mean by that?
First off, it's all about the Ohio State Buckeyes, so he can get his party ass out of here. secondly, what he's talking about, and if anybody wants to go watch it, go to ROHWrestling.com, look in the VOD section, or actually the pay-per-view section if you're a ringside member, and that was the Survival of the Fittest tournament between the match that him and I had from San Antonio. And going into that match, I feel like not only am I underestimated in Ring of Honor, but I believe he is as well. And so that match for the both of us, we both wanted to go out there and showcase what we could do and prove a point to the locker room, to the people in charge, and to the fans that, you know, we're not just two guys on the roster. We're two guys that can help carry this company going forward. So that's what we took into it. That was our motivation behind it, as well as punching each other in the face, which we both like to do.
Yes.
So, I do think that we accomplished that night.
I have a lack of a more rugged word, but you guys are pretty damn agile. For a couple of bigger dudes, like, you guys impressed the shit out of me. You guys are just really, really good in the ring. But sir, we had to ask, and it can be as incriminating as you want to. So if you want to change the names to say, you know, to save the people at home, please do. But what is your favorite road story to tell? What is your campfire road story?
Jesus.
That is always the reaction we get.
It really is, though, for a number of reasons, though, because, like, obviously this is going on a podcast, and I'm a different person now than I was, like, years ago, you know what I mean? So, like, I have a fiance, I have a daughter, so I'm like, I want to tell that story. Like, you know what I mean?
Fair enough.
I think the craziest story, you know, that I can think of at the moment is I remember having a show in Cleveland and driving with Ray Rowe and J-Rock through the night all the way to Philly. And I, like, drove the whole way by myself, like, this dolo, just Iron Man the trip. But what they don't know is we almost died, like, five times on the trip. Like, because I was I'd, like, sleeping, you know, falling asleep. Like, I was so tired. I was, like, hallucinating things in the road. You know, like, I'm stopping for deer that aren't there. Like, I'm swerving to miss, you know, cars that aren't there. Like, it was bad. Like, I just remember, like, riding on the shoulder and maybe 10 miles outside of where we were supposed to be. And Ray was like, you want me to drive? And I was like, yeah.
Yes, please.
yeah, I was done 3 hours ago, but you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I mean,
but yeah, but like that's
well,
like off the top of my head, that's what I got.
Well, you know, that was pretty good. And we're absolutely happy that, you know, you're still, you know, in one piece, sir.
For sure. Me too.
Well, sir, on behalf of myself and, of course, my roundtable, Lethal J and Jordan J.R. Rogers, it has been an absolute honor having you on the show. And if you could give some of the people at home that are just breaking into the business, what is some parting words of encouragement that you can give those folks at home that are just starting in this industry?
Gotcha. Want to thank you guys for having me. It was an absolute pleasure. And I would love to come back anytime that you want me.
You
and
got
my
it.
Advice to those who are just starting out is find out who you are. Know in that, trust in that, and don't let anybody's opinions of you or, you know, expectations on what they think you're supposed to be hinder you from being everything that you can be. That would be my advice.
Folks, you heard it from the man himself, Ring of Honor's Shane. That's right. More money. Your problem, Taylor. Sir, once again, thank you so much for coming on. You have a wonderful evening.
Thank you guys for having me. You guys stay safe.
Same, Mr. Taylor. Take it
you
easy.
Too.
Bye.
Have a good night.
All right.
Well, hey, folks, if you're just tuning in, I'm sorry. But once again, Pin the Shoulders Podcast, Serious Bread, the Roundtable has brought you another Ring of Honor superstar to talk about his career and talk about, you know, whatever we decide to ask him. And, you know, we haven't gotten kicked in the face yet, and it has been amazing. JR, what did you think of Shane Taylor? And I think he's going to take my phrase. I think he's going to take more money, your problems. I like it. It's ringy.
Well, more money, more success for the podcast, having Shane Taylor on, the guy with the experience, the upbringing, working from the ground up. You know, now he's a Ring of Honor superstar, sharing his stories of the road. Someone that myself, very young into the business, it's definitely good advice that he does give. He gave all the best advice out there. He shared some really cool stories, and he talked about what he does best, and that's being one of the best wrestlers in the world right now and working for Ring of Honor. So to have Shane Taylor on the show and Scorpio Sky last week, it's definitely a huge momentum point for the podcast, and I'm just looking forward for the train to keep going.
Oh, it's absolutely going to keep going. Lethal J, what did you think of our, I think, fourth or fifth Ring of Honor guest?
I thought he hit us with some real shit, man. Like,
he did.
Dude, let me tell you. No, he was great. I loved talking to Mr. Taylor. I hope to have him back on the show soon. I'm really looking forward to him because, like, he's really impressed me with what I've seen him in recently and everything. And I'm really hoping that he can maybe catch a break here and start doing some bigger stuff for sure. So, and it was great to talk to him for sure.
And folks, you know what, I haven't done this in a while, but you know what, we like to say happy birthday to people. So guess what, we're gonna say happy birthday, and it's ladies night. It's ladies birthdays Sunday, January 21st. Happy birthday to Maryse, and congratulations to Maryse and the Miz on the you know, the baby that should be actually coming real soon. I don't know if they've had it or not, but I think it's like a couple weeks away. January 25th, Thursday, Michelle McCool. January 26th, Sasha Banks. Tuesday, January 30th, Dee Lynch. And also Tuesday, January 30th, Rockstar Spud. So all the ladies out there, happy birthday. And yes, that was a joke. Did you see what I did there, guys? Lady, the roster, nothing. Okay, that was a bad joke. That was a bad joke. There was crickets. I wish I had a cricket button. Come on, JR.
I think
JR,
some
that
of the
was...
ladies are faster than Rockstar.
We're looking to get new ones.
Yeah, some of the ladies are a little more manly than Rockstar Spud. Actually, I hear Rockstar Spud is expected to be hitting NXT here sometime soon. Has anyone heard the same rumor?
Yes, I did hear the rumor about Rockstar Spud going to NXT. It was mentioned on a few websites that I've seen from my sources on Facebook and Twitter. However, as you see with Wrestling News, it has not been officially confirmed that he has signed a WWE contract. However, if the rumors keep going around, I guess it's yes and no, that it would be increasing the odds of him signing with the company. But he has all the tools in the book. WWE has been in talks with him, I can confirm that. But there hasn't been a confirmation on the signing of Rockstar Spud. But it could be quite the possibility, in my opinion.
Look, it'd be nice to get some smaller guys in there. I won't lie to you. I mean, with everyone saying with Ricochet possibly, being, a cruiserweight and stuff like that. And of course, we need to talk about this. This is being talked about right now as we speak. I'm sure trending on Twitter. I'm almost certain it still is. Enzo Amore no longer with the WWE. Accusations of sexual misconduct, rape, to be more specific. There was a statement from Enzo Amore and from others that are that lead away from him not actually raping this girl. And I hear he's also signed with Impact Wrestling already. What are your thoughts on this? Lethal J. I'm sorry. Go ahead, JR. What's going on?
There's a thing here about this accusation. When the film, I don't know her name. I've heard of her before this even happened through a friend who was a fan of the professional wrestling product. There's many people that said on the internet that she has lied about multiple things, including faking a pregnancy test, a former drug addict, among those things. I'm looking at the multiple facts and that there's more denials of this accusation happening than people saying that it did happen. I personally think I followed her on Twitter again after this accusation. I did a little bit of research and I watched some of these YouTube videos.
Her name is Philomena Sheehan, if I'm pronouncing
Sheehan.
That right. Philomena Sheehan.
I've never heard any good things about her. I've always heard that she's lied about certain things and this and that. And for her to make these rape accusations, I don't know if I'm going to offend the audience here. Enzo Amore did not do it. And I have multiple sources that tell me that he hasn't done it. I've also had multiple friends of himself and people in this situation that is telling me that he did not do it. Enzo is a performer in the WWE. He understands what's on the line. From the stories I heard, he's an all-out great person, great with the fans, great with the kids. I guess everyone has a voice and has a voice to their opinion, but if Phil Media wouldn't have, whatever the fuck her name is, I don't know, if she wouldn't stop lying and just tried to get her own life on track, she wouldn't have to make these accusations to get attention. He didn't do it.
All right. Well, sir, it's certainly accusations like that are just they're horrible. This is a career ruining. It ruins someone's life. It ruins someone's career. There already were rumors about Enzo Amore's time with the WWE being up. We all heard that. We also heard that he wasn't liked in the locker room. It is what it is. I don't care what the man had done or what, his mentality was in the locker room. I don't care about that. Accusations like that are completely horrible. You don't do that to a man just to get the attention. Whether or not his career was over with the WWE, this certainly would have done it, and it certainly has done it. And I'm not saying Impact is a bad brand. I'm happy that they picked him up instantly. That's great. Hopefully he'll do really well there. But I tell you what, it's you know, I'm going to try really hard to stay on the fence on this with my opinions. But I tell you what, if a woman is sad enough to do something like that and ruin a man like that, it speaks volumes of who that person is and, you know, how far she's willing to go. And I'm really hoping if she is telling that lie, that she sees her day.
There's something that I'm leaving out of this as well, that through a YouTube video, and this guy is actually really knows someone that I know, obviously.
She says
clear as day, the proof is in the pudding. There's no way you can edit a phone to like have a Facebook Messenger. Like, there's no way you can do that. She said, quote, right, in her message, "I fucked a famous WWE star," meaning that this is all for attention. And what's going to happen is we have Amore's legal counsel right into this here. This girl herself up in a very, very bad situation. So meaning that if this can't be proven and she continues to make those lies, she's going to go to jail for a long time. And I honestly think she deserves it for making such a horrible accusation. I can't see him doing something like that. I just can't see him doing something like that. I can see a bitch lying, but I can't see him doing something like that.
I don't think he did.
I was just going to ask you, Letha J, what are your thoughts?
I think that this has a lot more to do with the behind-the-scenes stuff, the stuff that we don't know about. I really hate to bring this up because I really, really, really like Rich Swann. But for those of you who do not know, Rich Swann is in the middle of a similar situation, except instead of a rape accusation, it was a domestic violence thing. And I mean, there's no other way to say it than he's still signed to WWE. WWE has not released him yet. And, you know, I guess you could make the argument for saying that rape is much worse than domestic violence, but in the end, I mean, a crime is a crime. And I feel that, like, if this really had to do with that, like, you know, Rich Swann wouldn't be part of WWE still, which he is as of right now that I know of. So I really think that this probably had a different meaning to it. Like you said, Brad, he's had problems with people in the locker room. I've heard that he's not really genuinely liked, but then again, you know, this is just what I read, of course. Like, I don't know, you know, I don't know facts. I'm not talking to people who know Enzo or anything like that, but I've heard that he wasn't really liked in the locker room. I did hear a lot of similar, but with that said, you know, I've heard a lot of things that, like JR said, like, I've heard that he's very good with kids, like the kids. I've heard that he's like, he likes his fans and stuff like that. So, you know, I guess you know, you really can never know about these people, unfortunately. I mean, and we talked about this a few weeks ago, Brad, like about like with all this stuff going on in Hollywood and everything like that. Like, I think this is all just it's like just a bunch of these people got together on this like secret like internet forum or something, and we're like, okay, what are we gonna do? Okay, this is what we're gonna do. We're gonna fuck over a bunch of famous people.
Right.
Like, I really don't know how else to say it.
There are people out there, you know, like that.
Yes, for sure. And like, I 100% agree with you. There are tons of people out there like that. Once again, I agree with JR. I don't think he did it. I think this has like a deeper meaning that we will more than likely never know.
Certainly.
Attention. And that's what it comes down to. You know, I went to high school and I had to deal that there's many people that have to deal with the same things. Girls lie just like guys lie. And the thing is that when women lie, they're doing it to get attention sometimes. And that is exactly what she did. She's made it on TMZ with these accusations. She's made it everywhere. And let's face it, she's not going to be famous in her life at all. Fuck, I even have more Twitter followers than she does. And you guys probably do too. She's not going to make it to be something. So what she's doing is she's playing the victim, but she doesn't understand that these accusations are very, very, very serious things. Now, I'm not going to say that it's 100% chance it didn't happen. She might be right. And if she is right, I'm extremely sorry. But the way, until it is proven that it did happen, I think she's just basically straight up an attention-seeking bitch. That's basically all she is. She's not meant to be, she's not going to go anywhere. And that's why she got on TMZ. She wanted to become famous. And there you go. You have your 15 minutes of fame, I guess. Enjoy it, honey, because it's not really going to last that long.
Especially when you have, you know, evidence that, she, you know, it wasn't true.
Zero evidence. And there's proof that it wasn't true.
Right.
She,
and
she's
going
to back herself in the corner. She's going to jail for a long time, probably, too, which is terrible. It's unfortunate how people have to put themselves at this extent. But she does need to learn what her actions did. It affects many other people. This guy had a career. This guy has a family to feed on the table. And he doesn't have time for some bitch who makes fake statements about rape. That's horrible. It's not true. It has even been proven not to be true. And I really think that she needs to look in the mirror, maybe spend another 45 days in a mental institution if she said that she did that, and get her head in the game and get her head together, because I don't think she's mentally stable.
There it is, folks. We touched on it. And certainly, folks, ladies listening at home, because, you know, we do have a huge fan base of females out there. If you actually did experience something like that, where you're dealing with, you know, an event like that, being raped, like you actually had this happen to you, and you're legit, and it truly happened. It's a horrible thing to happen. Seek help. Seek help. There's organizations out there that can help you come to light with this and get the help that you need to handle on a day-to-day basis, folks. Because rape is a real thing, and when it does happen to people, to girls, and it does happen to guys, believe it or not, guys, it does happen to men as well. But of course, the demographic is more women. There are people out there that can help with people that have legit gone through that. And for all the women that have gone through that, I bow to you. I'm sorry. And I hope that the person that did those horrible things pay for it. But let's go ahead and get to a – no, go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. Before we do end this very – I guess I couldn't say this. It's disturbing. And I just want to add one more thing to what you said, and that is, if you are going through something like that and it's affecting you in that way, and if it happens at all, it shouldn't ever happen. And understand that there's lots of resources and help, and don't be afraid to go to a police officer, a parent, a friend, anybody that you trust and love, because in reality here, nobody deserves to go through that. And if that did happen,
certainly not alone.
Horrible, horrible. But the thing is that you're not alone. Seek help as you need to, because it's very serious, and you have all my support as a friend and as someone to talk to if you are a woman that has experienced that, because that's something that no one can ever go through. I wouldn't wish that upon my worst enemy. It's just absolutely terrible. And for the people out there that are those kind of monsters that are listening, then I have nothing but disrespect for you, because it's very important how you treat people, because if you treat people with respect and love and good vibes, you're going to get the same thing back. But if you treat people like you shouldn't do that, you live in a lifetime of regret. So it's horrible. It's horrible how women go through this, and even guys that go through this. So I guess I just want to end the debate on that point there. I guess that would lead into the Ring of Honor report. Is that correct?
Yes, actually, we're going to get to that in a little bit. But I need to ask Lethal J real quick. I don't know if much is going on right now in New Japan Pro Wrestling, but what's cracking, correspondent? What's going on in New Japan right now?
Like you said, there's not really too much going on, but but Fantastic Mania is happening right now. There's a bunch of wrestlers who are in New Japan who are taking part in that. A couple of them that I can name, Tetsuya Naito, of course, he's probably the biggest one. He always takes part in it. Most of the LIJ group, so like you're gonna see people like him, Evil, Bushi, Sonata, and everything like that. They've all been pretty active over there, as well as there's been some other people who have had matches too. Unfortunately, we don't really get to see too many big names. You know, you're not gonna see a Kenny Omega. You know, you're not going to see you might see a Tanahashi or something like that, but you're not going to see an Okada. You're not going to see any of those guys really on any of the cards. But lots of good stuff for those of you who have not watched Fantastic Mania or do not know what it is. I can touch on that real quick. Fantastic Mania is a yearly set of events that happen between CMLL in New Japan and. Both companies are tremendous companies, of course. You know, I talk about New Japan all the time, of course. But in Mexico, CMLL, in my opinion, is like the promotion to watch. Like, they have the best wrestling, in my opinion, in Mexico. I love watching that kind of style of wrestling and everything like that. And you get to see some really fun, like, clash of style matches and everything going on over there, but that's pretty much it. There, you know, the New Beginning shows are going to be coming up next month and everything, and you know, and probably within the next week or two, they'll probably start. I'll be able to start talking a little bit more about them and everything. But this is usually a bit of a slow time for New Japan and everything. This is when a lot of the guys like Marty Scurll, you know, Kenny Omega, and those guys will go off and, you know, they'll do some working with Ring of Honor and places like that. So bit of a slow time, but stuff's about to pick up for sure.
There it is, folks. There's a little touch bases on New Japan. Let's go ahead and float over to our Ring of Honor correspondent. What's cracking, sir?
Yes, this is your Ring of Honor report on Tin the Shoulders podcast. We have the show start off with Will Ospreay and Jay Lee, so I'm not going to go through as much as I did last week. I'm going to mention some notes and highlights of the match and what I thought of it. Near the end of this match, they both exchanged wrist locks. Actually, that was the beginning of the match. Just the basic stuff. During this match, a Skrull joins the commentary team. The highlights would be Ospreay does a springboard off the second rope. However, Lethal catches him with a cutter and then hits the Lethal Injection for him to win the match. And after that match, they show that code of honor with a handshake. This is a good thing. We were talking about this feud earlier with Kenny King and Silas Young. He was facing off against Brian Malinas. And not too much to go on about this. It was a decent match. Malinas clotheslines King. However, King hits a kick to Malinas, and as well, he hits the springboard blockbuster for the victory. The thing to note after this match is what happened after, as Young and Bruiser attack King from behind, and then everybody, including Malinas, all stomp him several times to end that segment. There's a Soul Cal uncensored promo in the ring with the Ring of Honor president, Joe Koff. He also stated at Final Batter, that doesn't sound good, unless you're making
That's
cookies.
Right.
At Final Battle, they are done. They're finished. So that should be interesting to see what's going on with this whole scenario here. Obviously, Scorpio Sky was on the program last week, so it should be good to see what is in the future for SoCal Uncensored. And that leads us to your main event. You have Dalton Castle and the boys against the Kingdom, which is Matt Taven, Vinny Marsella, and TK O'Ryan. I love this main event. I thought this was great. O'Ryan kicks Castle. Castle, however, hits a bangarang finisher on O'Ryan. He also locks in Julie Newmar on Marsella. As there's an axe in the ring, Marsella taps out. And after the match, actually as the pin was happening, sentons to Taven and O'Ryan occurred. And then they promoted the next show, and they hyped the next show. So that leads off to my point about what's going to happen on the next Ring of Honor program and what to expect. What do you guys think?
I mean, I'm just really like enjoying learning more about Ring of Honor. That's, you know, I'm just pumped to have a correspondent, a Ring of Honor, because like we talked about before, Ring of Honor is one of the staples of professional wrestling right now, certainly in the independent circuit, certainly with the crop that is brought into the, you know, the bigger promotions, of course, being WWE, Impact Professional Wrestling. So I'm just really excited to hear what's going to continue on with Ring of Honor. James Quinn, one of our, you know, roundtable alumni, TV and movie actor, he's shooting some movies right now. Actually, he just texted before the show and told us to have a good show. So shout outs to JQ, who is a huge Ring of Honor fan. He has said over and over again, he's really looking forward to seeing what the storyline is gonna convey with, especially with the links to New Japan Professional Wrestling, CMLL, and, you know, a lot of those other promotions, Crouch Lucha. So I just, you know, just looking forward to seeing what, you know, what Ring of Honor can do.
Absolutely. You know, like I said, Ring of Honor is the top of independent professional wrestling, and they definitely show that for a reason. Ring of Honor is one of the best companies in the world. The action you see every week is always
product speaks for itself.
It speaks for itself, exactly. I don't really need to say much on this topic because actions speak louder than words, and watching Ring of Honor television, the actions definitely speak much louder than the words.
All right, guys. So we've touched on, you know, we've touched on the independent circuit, of course, talking with the man himself, Shane Taylor from Ring of Honor. We talked about a little bit in New Japan. We've talked about a little bit of Ring of Honor. Certainly, we've talked about some issues in the WWE and with some of the superstars there, or ex-superstars, unfortunately. But, you know, the big show is coming up this Sunday, Royal Rumble. Do you guys have any predictions, any weird predictions that, you know, you just have sat there, been reading social media and gone, yeah, this is going to happen? Lethal J, any weird predictions?
Daniel Bryan.
I've heard that too,
Daniel
man.
Bryan.
What do you think? Do you just think he's going to win, or do you think there's?
I don't know if he's going to win, but I definitely do feel with, especially with Miz winning the title, I definitely see them doing something in the future if WWE lets him. If like he says. My guess is that if he's not, I think his contract runs out at the end of this year. Don't quote me on that. I'm not 100% sure on that. But basically from what I hear is if he doesn't get to wrestle, he's going to leave. And WWE won't let him leave. Like, they know, like, how important of a, like, a person that Daniel Bryan is to the fans and everything like that. My guess is they're going to let him wrestle. And I really, really genuinely think that in the Royal Rumble, there's going to be something that involves him in some way. He has taken a couple bumps recently, I believe not on air, but, like, he has done some, like, guest referee, like, related things, like, with, you know, when, like, the whole, like, Shane and Kevin Owens thing was going on and all that stuff. And, like, I don't know, like, I think the guy can wrestle. I think WWE, I don't know anything about brain injuries, believe me, but I know they're serious. But, you know, I don't know, like, with sports medicine these days, like, and, you know, how good these athletes are, like, I really feel that he's going to be able to wrestle.
There it is, Lethal J.
Yeah, so.
Daniel Bryan.
Like I said, don't quote me. Don't quote me on that or anything, but, like, I really think that he's gonna make an appearance in some way, in some wrestling way. Other than that, I'm really hoping for a Ricochet debut, and once again, not a guy I'm super duper familiar with, but I always love, like, debuts and seeing fresh faces. I've heard a lot of talk about EC3 making an appearance at the
too.
Royal Rumble. He's signed. Like, I am pretty 100% sure that he's signed the WWE. So I'm, like, he's kind of a big name, you know, for your wrestling fans. So, like, I I wouldn't be surprised if I would see an appearance from him as well, for sure.
There it is, folks. Lethal J's predictions. Jordan Rogers, what are your off the wall predictions for the Royal Rumble this Sunday on the WWE Network?
I say that for the Women's Royal Rumble, we might see the return of Michelle McCool and Layla. For the male,
please.
For the male,
please.
Royal,
I hope so.
For the men, not the males. Royal. That sounds retarded. The men's Royal Rumble match, 30-man Royal Rumble match. We might see the return. I'm guessing a few guys. You never know, Carlito. But I guess a big one. I guess the return I could picture seeing happen. He's not been up to too much lately. I haven't seen him on any independent dates, and his name's vaguely mentioned in the news. Wade Barrett.
Really?
You never know.
I would love to see Wade Barrett come back.
Just another guy on the long list of names that WWE should never gotten rid of because they were underused.
Oh, so underused and underrated.
Yeah, very much so.
What were you saying,
yeah.
Jordan?
I don't think WWE has reached the full potential that they could have with Wade Barrett, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Certainly
I agree.
Not. He could have done. He would be. He is an amazing heel style champion, and I've said this on the show multiple times. I love heels, and I love heels with belts. And Wade Barrett is one of those people that I could just be at ease seeing come through the curtain, holding the belts, you know, shaking his head like a Brit. And he fits it to the bill. So I mean, I would love to see Wade Barrett.
Those UK guys, like, there's something else. Like, the oh man, like that would be the place to be right now. If I was a wrestler, like, I would be wanting to scrap with like the UK guys right now. Pete Dunne, Tyler Bate, Trent Seven, all those guys. I mean, McIntyre, just Jesus. There's so many of them right now that are big and they're upcoming and everything like that. So, yeah, great name drop for sure.
Well, it certainly, I mean, you just got, and of course everyone's noticing. I mean, you hear strong style, and you just can't say strong style anymore because there's just so many levels of strong style now. I mean, you got New Japan style, strong style, Japanese strong style. You got the UK strong style. Right. It's just,
the,
you know,
strong style.
Absolutely. I'm just happy to see that there's just, you know, it's just the prism's getting bigger. The prism's bigger. It's getting more cut.
Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne put on WWE Match of the Year last year. Like, those guys need to be on the main roster. Meanwhile, they're freaking, like, you know, they might get on NXT once every couple of tapings, which is, like, for those of you who don't know, is, like, once every, like, 2 months. So, like, which is god-awful terrible. But luckily, you know, with all these new cool, you know, WWE contracts, like, those guys are allowed to, thank God, continue working, like, with other people. Pete Dunne just had a match with Will Ospreay. WWE United Kingdom Champion just had a match recently with the New Japan Cruiser, like Junior Heavyweight Champion. Like, you know, you kind of think about that at first, and it's like, yeah, whatever. But then you really think about it, and it's like, holy shit, you know, like, this is like, it's gonna happen. Give it a couple of years, and like, we're gonna see a lot more like intermingling with like these big companies. I promise.
Certainly. And you know what? Here's Serious Brad's off the wall predictions for Royal Rumble. And this is never gonna happen. This is never gonna happen. And I guarantee you right now, Boss Man Greg DeMarco is probably gonna throw a coffee mug at the wall when he hears me say this, but Undertaker.
If you say Kenny Omega, Brad.
We all know that Serious Brad wants Kenny Omega in the WWE, but you know what? The sauce is too good in Japan right now. Don't blame him. The man's a god. But Undertaker. Undertaker's coming back. I know he tried to pull the old, I'm doing my retirement at the 25th anniversary of Raw, but you know what? I see Undertaker coming back and winning the Royal Rumble and putting his ass in the championship spot. And also, I see Shawn Michaels coming back, and I see them having a little face-off in the middle of the ring just to be nostalgic for one of the best WrestleMania / Undertaker matches that had ever happened. So that's Serious Brad's off-the-wall prediction. What'd you think about that one, Jordan?
Oh, I thought it was great. You know, like I said, I thought it was definitely good, and it's definitely more in store with that in the future.
I hope so, man. I would love it. Lethal J, do you think Undertaker is fibbing? Do you think he's going to show up at the Royal Rumble?
I don't think he'll be at the Royal Rumble. My guess is that he will definitely be at Mania. I guess from what I read, of course, you know, it's the internet these days, you know, so you never know. But it's pretty much guaranteed that he's gonna face Cena. No. I mean I'm assuming you guys have probably read the same things. Am I correct,
Jordan?
In regards to the dirt sheet reports about the Undertaker.
Yeah, like the Undertaker and Cena. Like I've basically heard that they're pretty much pretty much everything but confirmed for Mania. But then again, like I said, you know, I could be very false reports.
Absolutely, and the thing is that we also seen a lot of that last year with multiple opponents like Sting and countless other stars that they were teasing for Undertaker to face at WrestleMania. The fact of the matter is like I guess we're not officially gonna find out until it actually happens or when. I guess the guy I'm not the biggest fan of, but I respect Dave Meltzer, confirms that information. We need to see some, but we need to, you can't look at a book by its cover. You can't believe everything you see online, especially even if it's a big site or not. We'll see where it goes. Where a month stands from now, I'm sure that we'll get more information. In the meantime, does Undertaker have one more left in him? He showed up on Raw, so that's increasing the odds. I can definitely see him going against anybody at WrestleMania. The question is who, but John Cena, I would say, would be at least a favorite pick.
It's funny that you say that, Jordan, because I'm curious, like from what I have understood, this has been confirmed by Dave Meltzer. I mean, you're going to have to look that up, but I'm 99% sure that I have read that this has been confirmed by Meltzer. But he has been wrong in the past. I agree with you. Sometimes
he says
kind of, you know, on the fence and stuff like that. So, but, you know, I agree with you 100%. Like, it probably won't happen. We won't know about it until it happens. But I did read the other day that, yes, a lot of this stuff has come from Meltzer, actually. But, you know, I take a lot of what he says with a grain of salt because he's been wrong in the past and stuff like that.
The thing about
Dave Meltzer is as well, and I've always said this to my friends and stuff like that, is that you're not going to always know 100% of the information. As well, you're talking about Dave Meltzer, very accomplished wrestling reporter, yes. But has Dave Meltzer ever stepped in a wrestling ring? Has he ever reffed a match? Has he ever had a match? Has he ever known what it's like to, you know, have some pain put on your body and waking up and being sore the next morning? I report wrestling, and I've been through those things. I know what it's like to get hurt in there, and I'm not saying I'm a wrestler or anything, but I've definitely been in some scenarios as a reporter in storyline mode where I've been in the ring, and I've taken some beatings.
Right.
And the thing is that to call yourself a 100% reporter, you have to actually go through the things that you talk about. And the thing is that Dave Meltzer, I respect him. Yeah, he's a great reporter, the best in the business. But he's making $100,000 reporting a topic that he's never been in the ring and actually did. That's something that kind of grinds my gears a little bit. But I'll say, nah, fuck, whatever. You need somebody to report wrestling. You need your news honcho, man. And I guess that's what Dave Meltzer is, but I don't want to – I can believe him 95% of the time because he's been around the business for a long time. So I'm not going to believe him 100% of the time because he actually honestly doesn't know what it's actually like. Well, he does and he doesn't, I guess. Like, he hasn't been in the ring and all, but he's reported wrestling and stuff. Like, I think you guys kind of know what I'm getting at.
No, certainly. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I 100% get you. He's got connections and stuff, and, you know, he probably has a lot of people that he can talk to and everything, but stuff, you know, like, you know, stuff. The one crazy thing that I always talk about to everybody, and, like, and even in my job in real life and all this and everything, is, like, communication and how, like, crazy communication can get misstrewn and, like, misunderstood and twisted and turned, and it's just, it's crazy until it finally happens, like you said, and then at that point it's like, oh, okay, you know, this is what they were doing or whatever. So, but no, I 100% agree with you for sure.
Well, and certainly in media and in journalism, that's a tactic to confuse. I mean, in this business, it's easy to make predictions. And certainly sometimes they line up that storyline to where it's like, okay, that's what's going to happen next. That's certainly what's going to happen next. Oh, well, you know what? This guy's getting off the injured list. So, you know, that he must be tied into the storyline. There's this very open-faced predictions that everyone is making. So you've got these guys that are trying to mix it up a little bit to confuse the listeners, the viewers at home, make them think that, you know, hey, this is going to happen, when actually the obvious thing is really going to happen, but we're just trying to, you know, lead you away from that.
Do you guys, if you guys have two more minutes on the program, I could share a story about actually being a journalist and getting an in-ring experience last minute, and what happened and what it felt like.
Please hit us with it, man.
Yeah, the start of 2017, January of 2017, there's this local company here, great promoter, Canadian Wrestling Elite. They hold it every year, a 50-man Rumble to Remember. So I was supposed to announce it, the event. Things didn't come into play, but I was an entrant of one of the 50 men into the Rumble to Remember. And I remember walking in the ring and kind of just taking a bit of a beating. And kind of learning that way. I walked in the ring, I did my finishers, and then what happened was I took a choke slam, a body slam, two pile drivers, and I think another choke slam or something like that, then I guess got thrown over the top rope. And I'm like, wow, you know, I actually feel more pride now because I'm a reporter, but I'm actually doing what I'm reporting on. And that's kind of the thing where I kind of brought up with Dave Meltzer and stuff like that, whatever. He's a great reporter when it comes down to it. He knows what he's talking about, absolutely. But like I said, there's always flaws to everything, and those are just a few of them. But the thing is that you love this business. You soak in every moment that you can, and when you have those moments, you share and you reflect on it, and you do the best you can, just like me being on the program tonight. So I just thought
Well, certainly. We're all in this – to shine good light on the industry. We're certainly not trying to put it in a negative connotation. So, you know, that's what we're trying to do here. We at Pendulum's podcast, listeners at home, we know that you're fans. We are certainly fans. And we just want you guys to share that journey with us. Before we say goodnight, is there anything else that we'd like to say before we say goodnight to our listeners? Lethal J.
Nope. I think we pretty much covered it. Great show. Like talking about everything as far as, you know, of course, love you guys. Love talking with you guys and everything. So look forward to next week, and I will catch everybody up on New Japan news as it happens. Like I said, we are a little slow this time of year. So, but like I said, just bear with us, and we'll have some good stuff for you soon. Promise.
Yes, sir. Jordan Rogers.
Yes, there's quite a few plugs I have to make. If you guys are in the Winnipeg area this Friday night, 7 p.m., doors open 6 p.m., Primo's Wrestling presents their 6th anniversary show. I will be on the show as a ref after. I reffed a show in Flin Flon this Friday. I got some ring rust. I haven't reffed in 2 years. Actually, I only reffed one match 2 years ago, my first match. And I went in there, and I really comfortable with how everything's going. I'm looking to train. So check me out on Friday. I'll be reffing the show. I will also be reffing on Saturday in Thunder Bay for Primo's Wrestling as well. So for more information, go on my Twitter at Jordan J. Garber and find out how you can get your tickets right away and see Jordan Rogers live. As well, just live the dream, guys. Anything you guys dream about, make a goal and live towards it and just keep going, because this is the game of life. It doesn't stop. It's about that grind. It's about that hustle. And anything that you guys want to dream big about, go for it. And in the meantime, you can follow me on Instagram at Jordan J. Garber. I have a funny little Snapchat page, too. It's a little bit behind the scenes in my life. That's Jordan J. Garber as well. Of course, you can follow me on Twitter at Jordan J. Garber. And as always, thanks for the continued support. I didn't even expect this much of a feedback response, but to just communicate one thing I share in common with hundreds of people, and that's professional wrestling, is something that's very near and dear to my heart. And it was an honor once again to be on this program this week, I should say, and I can't wait to be on next week.
Absolutely, man. You're part of the family now, so enjoy the ride. And, of course, since we're plugging our local promotions, my local promotion and we sponsor, actually, Avalanche Wrestling Entertainment, February 17th, No Love Lost 2, Saturday, February 17th at 3:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m., 68 Holton Road, Island Falls, Maine. That's going to be a great match. Go check out Avalanche Wrestling Entertainment on their Facebook page. And also, they do a live show on Facebook every, I think, at 8 o'clock. So go check them out. But No Love Lost 2 happening February 17th, Island Falls. Make sure if you're in the area, you're going and checking them out, folks. So, you know, we don't overwhelm your minds with copious amounts of wrestling wisdom. We here at Pin Your Shoulders Podcast, we're going to say goodnight. And until next week, from all of us at the round table, remember, it is never a bad time.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.